A focus today is going to be on sharing stories from mission trips, but I thought it would be appropriate to set a little bit of a context or a little bit of a foundation, and thought we ought to start out with some words from the Scripture. And so from the Gospel according to Matthew, from the 9th chapter, beginning with the 27th verse, we hear these words. As Jesus went out from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And then they said to him, "Yes, Lord." And then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. Jesus sternly ordered them. He said, "See that no one knows of this." But they went out and they spread the news about him throughout the district. After they had gone away, a demoniac who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been mute spoke. And the crowds were amazed and said, "Never has anything like this been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "By the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." It's one of my favorite verses of Scripture, and there's so much in there, it's kind of hard to know where to start. So I thought I'd start here with that phrase, "The laborers are few." Have you ever found that to be true? Have you ever found that there's more work that needs to be done than there are people that there are to do it? Have you ever had a really good idea that you'd really like to see accomplished, but you know that you just don't have the energy yourself and aren't sure that you can get enough other people to help out? In a small way, we found out that last weekend. Our grandson Micah was baptized, and my mom came into town for just a couple of days. We usually do a pretty good job of keeping the house clean, but whenever you have company, you know, you want to get things a little extra nice looking. And so we decided to clean the house and mow the lawn and all that kind of stuff. Put together a list of all the stuff we knew needed to be done and wondered how we were actually going to get it done. I got started on the lawn, and then thankfully Dawn came home, and you know what we found? It's a whole lot easier to do when you got two people working on it than it is when there's just one. Is that fair to say? Do you believe that there are people who are in that position? They know that there are needs that need to be done, but just can't do it on their own? If that part's true, maybe the other part's true, that the harvest is plentiful. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the harvest is plentiful? Do you believe that there's plenty of work that to be done for those that are willing to go and do it? Every now and then, I hear people say things like, "I'm bored," or, "I just can't find anything to do." That's kind of a way of saying to Jesus, "You're just not right, isn't it?" Saying there's not enough to do out there. So do we really believe that Jesus is right? If the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, do we believe that those things are really out there for us? That there really is enough joy to go around if we only will gather it in? I'll confess that I know that I am not a great farmer, but I think I know this much about farming. Corn doesn't get itself out of the fields into the grocery store. Is that fair to say? It takes a whole lot of people to make that happen, doesn't it? Somebody to get it off the corn stalk, somebody to get it processed so that it's in a form that can go to the, somebody to get it into the grocery store, some people at the grocery store that are able to sell it. What if the harvest really is plentiful? And what if God's blessings are out there? It's just up to us to gather them in. Around here, we've been saying that our mission as a church, as a faith community, is to go and make disciples. And I've been suggesting that discipleship is kind of like a bike ride. A bike ride has a beginning and a middle and an end. Discipleship has a beginning. We have to start by connecting our hearts to God. And then a middle, where we follow the path, where we're on the way. And then an end where we become servants, where we serve the Lord so that we together become the church without walls. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there are hearts out there that need to be connected to the Lord? Do you believe that we need to be growing in our discipleship, finding better ways of serving the Lord? Do you believe that when we look for ways to serve, the Lord will show us what we need to do? If you feel like it's too much for one person, you're absolutely right. None of us can do it all by ourselves. So what's the answer? Where do we begin? Well, in this scripture, I think there's a turning point when we hear the words that Jesus had compassion on the crowds who were harassed and helpless. Do you care about the people around you? If you do, I invite you to turn to the person next to you and say to them, I love you, whether you like it or not. Would you do that? Turn to the person next to you. God has done some great things in the past, but they pale in comparison compared to what God is about to do. So how do we do that? How do we deal with the feeling of being overwhelmed? Well, Jesus' answer is, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Therefore, do you remember what the rest of that verse is? Therefore, where do you start? Ask. Ask. We have to begin by asking the Lord. And how do we do that most often? How do we ask things of the Lord? In prayer, right? So it begins in prayer. No matter how hard things get, you can always pray. No matter how old you are, or how young you are, or how sick you are, or how busy you are, one thing we can always do is pray. Question? Of Chris or of me? Of Chris? Already blessed. All right. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing anything. If you keep reading in the Gospel according to Matthew, here we're in the 9th chapter. If you keep reading to the 20th chapter, there you'll hear another story about blind men, two blind men that are sitting outside of the gates of Jericho. When Jesus is in the area, they cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus asks them a really important question. He asks them, what do you want me to do for you? That's a really good question, isn't it? How would you answer that question if Jesus asked it of you? They came up with the obvious answer. They're blind. What do you think they want Jesus to do for them? Restore their sight. So they say, open our eyes. Jesus opened their eyes. And they're able to see. Now, if I were one of those blind people, you know what I think I'd be thinking at that point? I should have thought this through a little bit better. I should have thought about what I was going to ask for first. Think of all the other things they could have asked Jesus for. They could have asked that all blind people be healed. They could have asked for $1 million. They could have asked for the ability to heal other people from their blindness. I bet Jesus could have answered those prayers as well. What if the reason that often we don't get what we feel like we need is because we don't ask? Ask, and what's the rest of that verse? Ask who? The Lord of the harvest, right? Jesus doesn't say you can have anything you want, or if you only work hard enough, you'll get whatever you dream about. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest. All things are possible with God. So the next part of the question is what we are longing for with God? The harvest is out there. Blessings are to be gathered in. God has already prepared the harvest. Our job is to gather them together. Jesus' disciples probably were sitting there saying, wow, that's a really good idea. We ought to send laborers out into the vineyard. Who did you have in mind? I bet they were somewhat shocked when Jesus turned to them and said, you know who he had in mind? You. You and me. Most of the work is always done by the few people who are willing. The question for us is, do we want to be among the many who are harassed and helpless, or among the few who are out doing the work in the vineyard? Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. Moses tried to do it all himself. He had Aaron to help him out, but when he got out into the wilderness, his father-in-law Jethro said, you're doing it all wrong. You need to ask some good, responsible people to help out. Put them in charge of 10 or 50 or 100. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, look for ways that you can find other people to bring alongside you, that you can get other people involved. Friends, our church is at the best when we are serving beyond the walls of the church. What we do here in this building is important. The praying and the studying and the strategizing and the planning, all that's important. But the church is at its best when we reach out to others every day of the week, when we are the church without walls. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What should we do? Ask, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the vineyard. This summer, we've been blessed with some people who have done exactly that, who have gone out to do the work of the Lord in places like Cincinnati and Nashville and Guatemala. No one can do everything, but everybody can do something. So if you're feeling like you can't do much, you're just one person, that there just isn't enough time, that's okay, because the Lord has sent out people into the vineyard. We can at least pray. Pray to the Lord, because whatever we do, it needs to begin with prayer and be from the Lord. We can pray to the Lord of harvest, trusting that there is plenty of opportunity, and we can pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the vineyard. For some specific examples of ways that we have done that as a church, Susan is our expert, and she and some others are going to share with you some of the stories of the summer. Susan?
Thank you, Brad. This summer we have been able to send out 2 youth mission teams, and then we had another team of adults and youth head to Guatemala. And today we are going to share a little bit about what we've experienced. Our youth teams went to Nashville and Cincinnati, and their trips were funded by the youth themselves and their families, as well as through a special offering which is going on in the month of August. And last year, our special offering was able to raise $1,200. And thankfully, between the special offering, the support of our annual youth bazaar, and a few individual donations, we were able to fund our entire mission trips without having to use the church budget money. So I thank you as a congregation. I thank those of you who were able to support our bazaar to help us fund this trip. And it's exciting to have the backing of those of you who did that for us. You've already heard Liam share his story of his time in Cincinnati, and I was very thankful to have him come alongside our group and lead us and guide us that week. We also are going to have a carry-in after our service today so that you can hear some more of our stories as well as have lunch. Our Cincinnati team left Xenia in July. There were 8 youth and 2 adults. Chris Brodsky is going to be sharing here in just a minute. Jocelyn Brodsky, Alex McCoy, Kyle Mills, Autumn Perry, Kaylee Perry, Alyssa Snell, Tanner Snell, Liam and I were the ones that were able to go to Cincinnati. We worked with a group called Summer Impact, and they are based at Hyde Park United Methodist Church. Many of you probably remember Sarah Putman, who had been a member of our praise band for many years. She actually is running the Summer Impact program, so we were able to work alongside Sarah for the week. There were 2 other Cincinnati churches that were there that week, and we worked together. There were about 26 of us serving in Cincinnati. Our Nashville team met up with 4 other groups, and the team was Jocelyn Brodsky, William Cody, Alexandra Felly, Alex Mills, Leslie Sanders, Michaela Skaggs, who will share with us today, Janine Stover, Isabel Tetow, and Morgan Wickline, and they were led by Rich Felly, my husband, and Brenda Stover, and there were teams there from Minnesota, Texas, and Alabama, and their group worked at a place called Thrift Smart, where they sorted donations from the community. They also worked at a place called Hartman, and they worked with special needs adults. And then there was another group that worked at a place called Harvest Hands, and they basically ran a vacation Bible school for the kids of the community for a week. So at this time, I would like to invite Joyce Smith and Chris Brodsky and Michaela Skaggs to come up, and they are going to share a little bit about their mission opportunity. And Joyce was our friend who went to Guatemala, so she's going to share first.
Good morning. I bring you greetings from the people of Chasek, Guatemala. We had a wonderful experience there. God continued to bless us and give us opportunity after opportunity to serve and to meet and worship with and work with the people in Guatemala. I want to tell you some of the things that you all did in Guatemala. We finished a church. We put in a concrete floor. We were able to give them money to finish their windows and the doors, so that was one of our projects that we did. We also gave shoes to each child in 2 different schools. and prayed for each child as they were, their feet were being measured, and we were giving them their shoes. Each child was prayed for, and then they were presented with a Bible. And I have pictures, and there are pictures in the narthex. This is the church. And then we finished the floor, and they will be doing the windows and the door. And we actually had a concrete mixer. We didn't have to mix the concrete in a hole on the ground. This is like revolutionary. So there's the floor. Isn't it beautiful? It was wonderful. We were so excited. And they were so excited, and they were so thrilled, and they told us that we had changed their lives forever. That was the village that we also built the school in. This is another village where we went to, and you can see the school building is very crude. But they were so excited to receive their Bibles. There was one, I've got to tell you this, there was one little boy, I know I'm going too long, there's this one little boy, and he was like the cool kid in class. His hair was all fixed. And he just happened, we were giving out t-shirts as well as shoes, and he happened to get a t-shirt that said American Rockstar. And it just fit him. And when we said, each of you are going to be receiving your own Bible, he went, was rubbing his hands together. It was just the best thing ever. So this is what you all did, because it was because of your contributions through buying ham loaves, through coming to the Los Mariachis dinner, to donating for Bibles. These are the things that we were able to do. And look at those faces. We have many openings on our mission team. I want you to prayerfully consider going next year. There is something for everyone to do. I said, I can no longer do the wheelbarrows. I just can't do it. Can't shovel the sand into the cement mixer. Couldn't do it. But there were things that I could do. So please think about it prayerfully and know that if that isn't something you can do, there are other ways that you can support us. We know that you're all here praying for us because we stayed healthy and everything went well. So we want to thank you for all of your support, and the people of Chesek are eternally grateful. The chickens all run when our van pulls in, because that's the only time they kill the chickens is when we come and they feed us. So we think now that when our van pulls into the lot, the chickens take off because they know what's coming next. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Joyce. Chris, you're going to get to go next. Chris joined us in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I did. Okay, so... We went to a couple of different places. My personal favorite was a place called New Life Furniture, and they collected furniture from Great Wolf Lodge and like hotels and stuff, and they would give the furniture to people who were coming out of homelessness. And then we went to a place called Respite Care, which was a center for the homeless and sick. We met a guy named Ryan, and his story was kind of inspiring, and he was a great guy. Felt really bad for him, but he was so happy for where he was. And as Liam was talking about, we went to Wesley Chapel and walked around with those little kids. And, I mean, they would just cling to you and they would love you. And they didn't even have to know your name. They were just so happy that we were there. And on the last day, we went to a place called Stepping Stones, which was a place for disabled kids. And I was with a group that was just a whole bunch of kids in wheelchairs. And a lot of them couldn't talk. They could just make noises, and it was actually an honor to go there because those kids just were so happy for you to be there. And throughout the whole experience, I kind of just learned that, you know, God is in places that you wouldn't expect him to be. People talk bad about Cincinnati all the time, how it's just a terrible place, but then there's all these places, like Our Daily Bread, which was a place that people could go and get food, that just stay there and help people. And God really showed me that whole week that, you know, just one little person can make a difference in so many people's lives.
Thank you, Chris. And Michaela was one of our team members in Nashville.
I went on the Nashville mission trip this year, and for the first 3 days, I worked at kind of like a summer camp for kids. And these kids accepted us, I feel like, so easy that it was kind of shocking. I mean, we would play games for a few hours until it was time to lunch. And then we would sit down and eat lunch with them. And then after we ate lunch, we would ride to a church, and then they'd have a Bible lesson, another game, and then go in and kind of talk about the day a little bit. And then this part of the week, that first 3 days kind of reminded me about VBS here at Faith. But then the last 2 days of the trip, I did something I've never really done before. It was a little different. I chose to be separated from our group and join another group of three people. And our group worked at a house where the summer camp was once located. The job we had was to clean out the attic. The attic was so hot that within like 5 seconds, you had sweat dripping down your face. I had the privilege of meeting and working with adults and youth from multiple parts of the country. Since returning to Ohio, I have kept in touch with a few of the people I met on this trip. I want to thank Faith Community for supporting our youth mission trips and giving me a chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Thanks, Michaela. And once again, I'd like to thank all of you for supporting not just the youth, but also the adults that go on these trips, not just in Cincinnati or in Tennessee or in Guatemala. We also do service work in our community here in Xenia. Tomorrow, we're going to be preparing a meal to be served at St. Paul and Dayton. We do serve locally, and we serve within the walls of our church. I would like to remind you, if you are interested in donating for the special offering, you're welcome to do that by notating on your offering, youth special offering. I also challenge you to find a place to serve, whether it's within our church, within the walls of this building, or outside this church, because you too can find a place where you're comfortable serving, maybe where you're not comfortable serving, but where you are led to serve, to listen to God. I know Liam shared with us during our week, he said it wasn't himself that said yes to that trip. It was God speaking. And I saw him serving, and it was awesome. There is going to be a video, I hope, that will give you an example of what serving may look like for you.